Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Unending Rebuild. Really excited to be back here today with another episode, as always, and I'm happy to be back this week. I was out in California for my cousin's wedding, so if you missed me and my beautiful takes, they returned this week. But today we got a good episode. We're running it back with one that we did last year, where we went through our predictions for top 12 for quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, so who we think the ones in each of those positions will be in 2024. So at this time, 2024 is how we're thinking about it. So you today's episode, think about how, players will be shifting positionally, you know, like how these rankings are going to change, where you can find value, and maybe where you can get on some guys now. So joining me, as always, are Josh Lee and Jared Perlman. Guys, say what's up.
What up, guys? Oh, man, we are so close to the NFL season. It kicks off very, very soon. I cannot wait. I'm super excited. Very excited to do this episode too, because just looking back at our 2023 rankings, we got a lot wrong, but we also got a lot right. So really curious to see what plays out this year, because it's always fun to project a year into the future when none of us know anything, but I'm excited for it.
What's up, guys? Jared here. Yeah, I love this episode. It was really fun last year. Things happen, injuries happen, and, you know, some guys don't live up to the hype. We missed on a few. We hit a few. I see Josh had Waddle at 4 last year. I love that. Waddle ranked pretty high now. So hopefully we can hit on a couple more this year. Fun one. Let's do it.
Perfect. Let's get into it. So we'll go position group by position group for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Skipping tight ends, because I feel like the back half of tight ends is always kind of like a crapshoot. And like once you get past like the guys that are like actually mean something, it's kind of just a bit irrelevant after that. So I think we're just going to go quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers today. So let's get into it. So for quarterback ones, I have Mahomes, Jared has Mahomes, and Josh has Josh Allen. So Josh, why is Josh Allen your quarterback one as opposed to Patrick Mahomes?
I just think Josh Allen is going to Josh Allen is just going to finish as the QB1 this year. Just the rushing upside is just unreal. I mean, the fact that you can get like running back and quarterback position, quarterback scoring from the quarterback position is just a cheat code in fantasy. And Josh Allen has been the QB1, the QB1, and the QB2. And the year that he was QB2, he had a torn UCL in his elbow, in his throwing elbow. So if that doesn't say consistency to you, I don't know what does. So Josh Allen's my QB1.
Yeah, I think for me, I tend to lean a bit more in like the elite pocket passer range with someone like Mahomes, just because of the protection that he will have against injuries long term. But I get where you're thinking. I mean, the upside that Allen offers is unparalleled.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going Mahomes. He's just the best quarterback like in the game right now, so that's why he's my one. But Josh Allen is my two, so you know, you can't go wrong with either one.
Same here. And then for our quarterback threes, you have two Lamar Jacksons, and I got Jalen Hurts there. So I had to go Jalen Hurts here. So I think the Eagles are just going to continue to improve. And I love that he's tied with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And, I mean, the rushing upside's there. I don't think you can go wrong with any of these guys here, but I just went with Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, Perlman and I both went with Lamar Jackson. It's Lamar Jackson. He's a beast. I'm super excited for him this year. I mean, the Todd Monken offense, I think people are just like sleeping on the sort of impact that that's going to have for fantasy football. I'm really excited to see Lamar playing that sort of style of offense and not being just a pure, just run heavy sort of offense. So I'm excited to see what Lamar can turn into.
Yeah, Kai said unparalleled for Josh Allen. Well, Lamar Jackson is actually unparalleled, you know, highest points per game of any quarterback we've seen throughout a full season. Lamar is a beast. So I would love to see him get back to that MVP form and go crazy. So that's what I'm hoping for out of Todd Monken. But that injury risk is certainly there. Could possibly fall out of the top five, maybe even the top 10 if people are concerned with his if he gets injured again. So definitely a risk with Lamar compared to the other ones, I think, because he's been injured so much. But a beast. So let's do it, Lamar.
Yeah, we've been huge on the Ravens all offseason too. So I've been drafting J.K. Dobbins and like redraft everywhere too. Like I am big on the Ravens this year. I think that they're all undervalued across the board this season. All right, so for our quarterback four, this is we have three different picks for our quarterback fours. Jared, you had Jalen Hurts. Josh, Justin Fields. I had Justin Herbert. Herbert. So we already talked about Hurts. Josh, why Justin Fields is he quarterback for?
Justin Fields, he's kind of in that same grouping for me as Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, just being an absolute broken player in fantasy. Just getting that rushing production from the quarterback position is just unreal. His prop for his rushing yards this season is already set at like 1050. 1,050 yards is his rushing prop from Vegas. Like that's unreal. That's more than most running backs in the NFL. I think there's like six running backs. I know there's only like six running backs that have a higher rushing prop than Justin Fields' rushing yards this year. So like if he's giving you that sort of fantasy production this year, I feel like he deserves to be in the top four.
Yeah, definitely a beast. I love Justin Fields. He's my number five. I mean, just incredible rushing upside. I think his passing will be really good this year as well. I think people will see that, but I'm not sure that, you know, he can beat those top three guys in my opinion, but or top four. But I just think Hurts, you know, can continue to improve and has such a great offense. Love his receivers. DJ Moore is great for Fields, but not as good as what the Eagles have. So that's why I got Hurts, but love Fields too.
Yeah, I think Fields is rushing upside, like Josh was saying, is crazy. It's obvious. And this is just a bound is on that arm talent improving. I'm still a bit skeptical of that. So I have Fields ranked lower, but you know, I can respect it. I was also lower on Hurts last year, as I talked about a lot. And I proved to be wrong on that. Though I think, you know, that was an adjustment in my process because Hurts has always been at least a decent passer from the college level to the NFL. And Fields has not quite shown that in the NFL yet. So I'm still pumping the brakes a little bit, but adjusting the process to be like, yeah, that rushing upside's everything. And he can use his legs to improve his arm too.
Fields was a pretty elite passer in college. At Ohio State, he was a dog there too.
I'm saying he hasn't shown it at the NFL level yet, like Hurts had before Hurts' breakout.
Well, yeah, you said the same thing about Hurts last year.
No, that's I'm saying I adjusted my process. I'm not completely out. All right.
Well, your Fields at nine.
Bum. All right. And then I picked Justin Herbert here as my four. I think Herbert's just incredible. I think he is an elite tier of like arm talent quarterbacks. I think he can pull off throws that maybe only like himself, Mahomes, and Josh Allen can do. And with Kellen Moore coming in, adding Quentin Johnson, I'm a big Herbert guy. People forget that he was hurt like all last year with that like a fractured rib cartilage, which made it incredible painful to play. So I'm excited for him this year. I think he'll you know, be that typical pocket passer like mold that I tend to value a bit more for that durability. Ironically, though, he got hurt last year. So looking forward to seeing him in that Kellen Moore offense.
Yeah, I like Justin Herbert a lot. I got him at six. I think there's a real chance Justin Herbert outscores Justin Fields this year as well. I think Justin Herbert might put up 5,000 yards. Like, this dude's put up 4,000 yards as a rookie. There's no way he's putting under 4,000 yards, that's for sure. And he just added Quentin Johnston, a big deep threat receiver who has immense, you know, yards after the catch ability as well. To be able to flex around Mike Williams and Keenan Allen now with Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer there to also help, you know, he's got a lot of support, and not to mention even Austin Eckler. And like Kai said, bringing in Kellen Moore to be that offensive coordinator. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. I like Justin Herbert a lot this year.
So for our quarterback fives, these are all guys we've talked about so far. Justin Fields for Jared, Jalen Hurts for Josh, and Lamar Jackson for myself. Let's get on to our quarterback sixes, where Jared has Herbert. Josh has the introduction of a player not yet in the NFL with Caleb Williams. So, Josh, why Caleb Williams as your quarterback six going into next year?
Caleb Williams is just an unreal prospect. I've never seen a quarterback prospect look like Caleb Williams. He has all of the arm talent in the world, and he has unreal rushing production. Like when he plays out there, he looks like a combination of like Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. Like, I know that those are like wild comparisons. That's because Caleb Williams is a wild player. And I think that whichever NFL team gets Caleb Williams, they have they're going to have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I cannot wait for him to come into the league and absolutely blow it up.
Yeah, I like Caleb Williams a lot too. I actually got him at eight, so he's coming up for me too. I might be too low, might have to bump Joe Burrow down. I mean, Caleb Williams has just shown incredible everything, like Josh said, his arm ability, like deep balls, accuracy, timing, and he rushes, like he runs around as well too, gets rushing yards. So he's an exciting player. I'm excited for him to get into the NFL, and I hope he uses his leverage to get the Cardinals to trade out of the 101 so that he goes to a different team and he doesn't have to be stuck, even though I love Kyler as well, kind of want him out too.
Yeah, for me, I obviously Caleb Williams is an amazing prospect within the 101 this year in the draft if you are eligible. I just don't see how you can put him over someone that's played in the Super Bowl like Joe Burrow or someone that's, you know, already been like a top three quarterback in Justin Herbert. You know, I struggle to do that, but I get it. It's about upside. It's a bet on youth. So I understand it. My quarterback six here was Joe Burrow. Again, another pocket passer guy for me. Just being linked with Chase, being linked with T. Higgins, at least for this season, probably moving forward too, I would think. I think they figure out that contractual situation. Just happy to have Joe Burrow there at my sixth spot, just feeding them the ball. All right, let's get into our quarterback sevens, where Jared has Joe Burrow. Josh has the introduction of Anthony Richardson. I have the first, Trevor Lawrence. So, Josh, why Anthony Richardson as your quarterback seven?
I think you guys can tell there's a bit of a theme here. Just like I said, rushing production from the quarterback position is broken for fantasy. You have a rushing quarterback, you have like an immediate floor of like 15 points just because they're gonna run for like 70 yards in a game, could have a rushing touchdown, and then you add on all of their passing stats on top of it. So I don't think Anthony Richardson is going to like blow it out of the water in his rookie year. But I expect him to have that consistent rushing production week in, week out. And that's going to boost his value a ton in fantasy. And then going into next year, he's going to be someone that's everyone's going to be really, really excited to draft. And everyone's going to be jumping on overdrafting him. And as people continue overdrafting him on the hype, he's just going to continue to move up the rankings. So that's kind of what I envision for Anthony Richardson after this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking for Richardson, it's going to be like Fields' year last year, where the arm talent, you're kind of just like, I mean, what did Fields throw for last year? Like 2,200 yards, something like that. I think it's going to be a similar year for Richardson, where nearly all of his fantasy value comes in the running game. That's completely fine. We're fine with that. And especially now with JT's situation being a bit ambiguous, they're going to rely on Richardson so much. And also with Richardson's pocket presence and his ability to avoid sacks, that's just going to lead to more yards scrambling. Cause when that play breaks down, he's going to be just running for first downs. Like you saw in the preseason, there's a couple times they had long, like third and like 10 situations. And he would just scramble his way out of it and run for the first down. That's going to be happening all year. Cause they're going to have plenty of third and longs.
Yeah, one other point that I'd like to add is I actually think Anthony Richardson is going to pass for more yards than Justin Fields did last year. Because Justin Fields' receivers last year, like near the end of the season, were like a hurt Chase Claypool, Dante Pettis, and Equanimeous St. Brown. That is not a receiving core that any quarterback is going to want to throw to. Any quarterback is going to thrive with those three receivers as their main receivers. Anthony Richardson, at least, he gets Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman's going to draw like, what, 130, 140 targets like he always does. Alec Pierce is an ascending second-year player. They just drafted Josh Downs, and then they have the tight end trio, Mo Alie-Cox, Kylan Granson, and Jelani Woods. So like Anthony Richardson actually...
on that roster. I mean, they only had three receivers and like six tight ends, something crazy like that.
The Colts at least have a cast around Anthony Richardson that Anthony Richardson can throw the ball to, whereas Justin Fields did not have that last year. So I think Anthony Richardson's passing production will be more and Fields, but it's going to be kind of a slow ramp up for his passing at least.
I mean, I like Anthony Richardson. I got him in my top 12, but I think it's just going to take a while for him to get really the hype to move into like the top 10 range. I could see him outperforming Justin Fields' passing ability, but still 1,000 yards on the ground is difficult. I mean, Justin Fields just set the record for rushing. I understand Anthony Richardson has that capability, but I think it's just going to take him a little bit to really get acclimated to the NFL. Those big time throws, we've seen Alec Pierce now drop. He's got to have, you know, good connection in the ones that he hits. His receivers are going to have to also hit. You know, I think it's just going to it's going to take him a bit. And if any of those guys get hurt, they only have three receivers on the roster. Like we said, they don't really have any depth at that position. So hopefully those guys stay healthy as well, but they already have Jonathan Taylor sitting out. They're going to have nobody there to help him from the, you know, rushing aspect. So maybe that means he takes it over, but I also think they, you know, teams will be selling out for him. So I think it's just going to take a bit for him to quite get there. Joe Burrow been to a Super Bowl, like we said. I got to put him over a guy like Anthony Richardson right now.
And then my QB7 is going to be Trevor Lawrence. I'm first one here with Lawrence. I just think he's going to continue building on an amazing second year. I mean, he's just such a smart processor, great in the pocket, cannon for an arm, and underrated athleticism. And people forget that he's like 6'6", too, which I think just makes him just a standout guy. I mean, he's always been the perfect prospect, and I think he'll continue to build on that this year and solidify himself as like a almost top half quarterback here in the quarterback ones.
Yeah, I like Trevor too. He's, yeah, real big dude, has a cannon, like, and people, you know, definitely underrate his athleticism. I could see a big year here with Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones trio, and Evan Ingram there from the tight end. And then a nice duo of running backs. The Jags are set up for offensive success, and we haven't seen much defensive success from them in a while. So I could see some shootouts from them. Maybe Trevor's, you know, real life ranking doesn't move up as high because they're not the best team, because maybe they can't finish games quite as well. But I still think his fantasy production will be real high this year. I expect him to throw for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns with his receiving trio.
All right, moving into our quarterback eights. Jared has Caleb Williams, Josh has Joe Burrow, and I also have Caleb Williams. So don't think there's a whole lot to add here. Anyone want to add anything before we go on to our quarterback nines?
The only reason I have Joe Burrow down here at QB8 is because I think, what's Joe Burrow's ranking right now in Keep Trade, Cut, or Fantasy Pros? It's probably like QB6 or something like that. Yes. I don't think that there's a way that he goes past that unless like he wins the Super Bowl this year or something. And I think that Joe Burrow's calf injury is going to affect him a little bit more this year than people are letting on or that people are perceiving. So I'm just a little bit concerned for Joe Burrow's production this year. So that's my only reasoning for having him down here at 8.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's the QB4 on Keep Trade Cut. And I mean, you know, I agree that he's probably not going to be running around, but he doesn't run around often anyway, and he's already had a bad offensive line. So as long as he can maneuver a bit, I could definitely see him staying pretty high. He's a beast. I love Joe Burrow. Great talent for sure.
Yeah, he's the best Joe Burrow's
quarterback in the league, in my opinion. So to put him down at 6 hurts me. So
I mean, Joe Burrow's definitely like a phenomenal talent. You have him at 7, by the way. But yeah, Joe Burrow's definitely a phenomenal talent. But I just like it's. I could see him like tweaking it again. He misses a few games here or there, and then like if you miss games, like you're inevitably going to fall. Like that's what's happened to Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray before was what like valued in the top 4 dynasty quarterbacks. He gets hurt and he falls completely out of the top 12. So I don't see that massive of a drop for Joe Burrow just because
that's a big injury
from a talent perspective. Yeah, it is. That's true. But still, if you miss games, like it's hard to sustain your dynasty value.
All right, moving on to our quarterback nines. Jared has Trevor Lawrence, Josh has Tua Tagovailoa, and I have Justin Fields. I feel like I kind of copped out here with Justin Fields. So I feel like either it's going to be like what Josh said, and he moves into like that top tier because he figures out the passing and then adds that elite rushing side, or he doesn't figure out the passing and people are like, ugh, are the Bears going to move on? So I feel like nines kind of just like maintains this middle ground of uncertainty that, I don't know, feels a little bit like a cop-out, but Josh, interested to hear why you got Tua so high. And obviously, we love him here on the pod. So curious for your thoughts there at 9.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're just a hater on Justin Fields. Having Justin Fields down here at 9 is outright disrespectful. But that's okay. You'll learn from this one, too. You didn't learn the first time from Jalen Hurts. So you'll learn.
It's crazy how like half my rankings are just me hating on people.
But Tua's an elite quarterback. Looks like he's figured out. I mean, last year he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league from a pure like passing numbers perspective. But just like the concussions were just messing him up. And he was playing poorly at the ends of games because the Dolphins' terrible medical staff was leaving him in while he had these terrible concussions. And he's just like, can't even see his receivers. And he's just chucking it downfield. And obviously just go straight to the defender. And then he missed some games because of those concussions as well. So that's why Tua's a little bit lower in the consensus dynasty rankings. But I think he's going to be healthier this season. It looks like in the preseason, and after he's taken all those hits, he was falling properly because his jiu-jitsu coaches taught him how to fall. And it looks like he's actually implementing those in the game. So it's really, really encouraging to see that. So I think Tua, if he continues to perform the way that he did last year from a pass perspective, which I think he will, he's Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, that he's going to pop up into the top 10 this year, into the top 9.
Yeah, I agree. I got Trevor at 9. Like I just said, I love Trevor. He's a big prospect, perfect prospect, like Kai said. And the only reason I have Tua at 10 and not 9 over Trevor is because people are haters, like Josh said. You know, I think they'll just see that perfect golden hair in Trevor and like to put him over Tua. But Tua is going to ball like we all have said he is all year. He's got those two beast receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And I think Devon Achane is going to be real nice for them as well, especially in the receiving game. So yeah, I love Tua. I'm real excited for the Dolphins this year too. He's going to be a beast.
So speaking of Tua, Jared has him at 10. Josh has Herbert at 10. And I have Kyler at 10. Before I get into Kyler, Josh, why do you hate Justin Herbert? Talking about hating and you got Herbert at 10 is crazy.
I don't hate Justin Herbert. I hate Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore is going to kind of take away from Justin Herbert's strengths as a quarterback. Kellen Moore kind of did the same.
Can't be worse than Lombardi, though.
But it can, because last year, actually the last 2 years, the Chargers have been top three in the league in pace of play, in plays run, and he just throws the deep ball like all the time, which Justin Herbert is phenomenal at. Kellen Moore, I know people like say he runs like a super fast pace of play. The Cowboys last year were like 10th compared to Joe Lombardi's 4th in the league. So it seems like the pace of play is going to come down. The number of plays are going to come down. And then Kellen Moore, I don't know exactly like what sort of offense he's going to implement in LA, because the pieces, the offensive weapons are a lot different than they were in Dallas. So it's going to be interesting. But I think Kellen Moore is just going to kind of complicate things too much. And Justin Herbert's production is going to be impacted by that.
Yeah, Josh is definitely being a hater having Herbert down here, but that's okay. I do kind of agree. I mean, Kellen Moore is not going to be I think the expected crazy high flying, super fast paced offense that Joe Lombardi was, but I do think Dak just couldn't throw the deep ball as well as Justin Herbert, and Kellen Moore will let him air it out. So that'll be a big sticking point for him. Whether he's, you know, top 5 or top 10 is definitely that deep ball, whether he can get that connection. But Justin Herbert has a cannon for an arm, and he's shown that he can do it. So I think he'll keep airing it out and, you know, keep putting up 4,500 plus, maybe even 5,000 yards this year.
And then I had Kyler here because I think, I mean, the market's overreacted to this ACL injury that he's had. I think he'll end up playing toward the back half of this year, and his value will rebound, and then everyone over the offseason is gonna be like, oh, I should have bought Kyler last offseason, and then you're getting a running quarterback for pennies on the dollar. So I think adding Kyler here at 10, and looking like I'm the only one that added Kyler, I think Kyler's a great value right now, and I'm not too concerned about him going into the future. I mean, if he's not starting at the Cardinals, he's gonna be starting somewhere else, so and that's probably even better. So I'm not too concerned with Kyler here.
One last thing I'll add before we move on. So last year, maybe last year isn't the best way to look at it since Herbert was hurt, but in terms of deep ball accuracy, Dak Prescott was 9th in the league in deep ball accuracy, and Justin Herbert was 25th in the league in deep ball accuracy. So some data to back up Dak Prescott some love.
We'll see how it goes this year.
I agree that Herbert had an off year last year, but again, Lombardi, being a terrible offense coordinator, had the second lowest average depth of target in the league. All their receivers getting hurt, offensive line getting hurt, and Herbert getting hurt. So I think all of those things together, I think we can, and he still had a decent fantasy year. I think we've kind of chalked that up as just a errant season and move on from that. All right, quarterbacks 11. Jared had C.J. Stroud. Josh had Dak. I had Tua. So first Stroud mention. Jared, go ahead. Why is C.J. Stroud as your quarterback 11?
Yeah, I like C.J. Stroud a lot. I did want to say real quick about Kyler is I'm concerned that he doesn't play the whole year. And if he doesn't play the whole year, it's going to be hard for him, especially at his size, to, you know, be pushed up in people's mind. But if he does play at the end of the year, he's going to show that he can still run around, I would assume. But they don't have very many weapons there in Arizona. And, you know, if he is still impacted off that ACL, it's going to hurt his fantasy production probably as well. So it might be hard for him to quite crack the top 12, in my opinion. I put CJ Stroud in my top 12 at number 11. I think that the Texans are definitely a slept on offense, definitely underrated. They have Nico Collins, who's commanded about 25% target share in the past, alongside Brandon Cooks. And then I do think John Meschi returns strong this year. He's a second round pick out of Alabama, had cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma last year, and he's back. I think that he's going to show the world that he's a good receiver, and CJ Stroud is a really accurate quarterback, and they have an okay offensive line when healthy. I think they'll be able to protect him well enough, but obviously going to be worse than what he had at Ohio State. But I do think, you know, he even has a little bit of rushing upside. He just didn't have to do that at Ohio State with the weapons that they had. He showed in the college football playoffs that he can do that against Georgia and almost won that game. I like Stroud a lot this year to be able to show that he's a promising young quarterback and he has the weapons. Possibly the Cleveland Browns are worse than people think as well, and they're able to get a high pick and draft him another receiver this year. So I like CJ Stroud moving forward. And he's already pretty close to the top 12 anyway. I think all the rookies are like 14, something like that, 15, 13.
And Josh, Dak Prescott, first mention of Dak. You're the anti-Jared Dak lover, Josh Lee, I guess.
I'll touch on Stroud real quick. I was thinking about putting Stroud in the top 12. I don't know why I decided not to. I just think Dak is going to have a pretty good year this year with McCarthy calling the plays, with the Cowboys offense just being a lot better than it's been in the years past. I'm excited for the entire Cowboys offense. I think Dak Prescott's going to put up a lot of fantasy points because of it. I expect the Cowboys to do pretty well this year. Prescott's kind of perceived value, I think, is going to rise. That's going to put Dak Prescott in the top 12.
And then I had Tua there at 11. We go on to 12. Jared and I both had Anthony Richardson, and Josh has two surprises for us. One, his quarterback 12 is Kenny Pickett. Two, I noticed someone is missing. Where is Trevor Lawrence, Mr. Lee? How do you have Kenny Pickett over Trevor Lawrence? I'm so curious to hear this one.
So Kenny Pickett's one of my guys this year. It's the Kenny Pickett breakout season. It is upon us, and that's why I have him at 12. Kenny Pickett's a dog.
Are going to kill you.
That's okay. They've already tried from earlier this offseason. But Kenny Pickett is one of those guys who just has sneaky rushing upside. And I think people are going to realize that this year. He's going to show off his legs a little bit more. I expect the Steelers kind of open up the offense a little bit more, kind of let Kenny Pickett do his thing. I kind of like what they were doing, allowing Kenny Pickett to do in like the last drive of every game when they're about to lose, they're down like 4 points and they have one drive left. Kenny Pickett would go down and score a touchdown. And he had like, what, 2 or 3 game winning drives last year. So I'm excited for Kenny Pickett this year. I know Trevor Lawrence did not make my top 12. He probably will end up as a top 12 quarterback this time next year. But I'm sticking to my guns. Kenny Pickett, QB 12, lock it in.
There's just no response for that. Josh should obviously have Trevor Lawrence at 12. So I'm just going to let him live his pipe
or
dream.
Like top 10 at least. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, something like that. Definitely not Kenny Pickett. That's all I know. But hey, you know, you can be a Trevor Lawrence hater. I was there last year. You know, it didn't work out too well, but it didn't bite me in the ass too hard either because there's plenty of other good quarterbacks.
It's crazy, but
I'm not worried.
I mean, I like Pickett. I think he'll do a bit better. I just don't think that he has the rushing upside to really justify this ranking, and therefore, to me, he has to perform on like a similar level as like Dak or Tua or something like that. And I just don't really see that happening. So I don't really agree with that Pickett.
Yeah, agreed. I'm
not
But
worried.
Jared and I both had Anthony Richardson. We're sensible.
Yeah, might be too low on Anthony Richardson, honestly, you know, but
Yeah,
it's
I
going
mean,
to
I
be
think
that
it's gonna be the
passing year.
usual, like, yeah, it's the passing. I mean, it's gonna be the usual, like, well, he's so good on the ground, but can you throw the ball? And to
Yep.
me, that is about quarterback 12.
Yep. All
Now
right, let's
talking to
move
the
on
draft.
to wide receivers and RBs or something. Which one do you
Yeah,
want?
let's do wide receivers here.
All right.
So Josh, his wide receiver one is Tyler Boyd, and then it goes. But no,
This
we each
guy.
have Justin Jefferson. I know, I'm so funny. We each have
Do you want me
Justin
to bring up
Jefferson.
last year's? Do you want me to bring up last year's top four wide
No, I
receivers?
don't think we have time, honestly. I don't think we have time. For everyone listening, I think it was like Deontay Johnson and Michael Pittman in my top four.
You did.
Yes, you did.
You
You
did.
did.
I did.
I
I
was a little bit
was
more sensible.
Deontay Johnson was contingent on him getting traded to the Packers. That was a part of my prediction. And then the
Was a
Michael
good
Pittman
try.
one, I mean, who thought Matt Ryan was a bum? Anyway, all right. For this year's wide
Okay.
receivers, we each have Justin Jefferson as our wide receiver one, and we each have Jamar Chase as our wide receiver two. Then Jared at wide receiver three, true to form,
Yes, sir.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yep. I'm going all out. I'm starting
What's your
early.
best ball exposure?
Like 44%, something like that.
Love
Might
it.
be even a little bit
Money
higher.
where your mouth is.
Yep, I got all the JSN everywhere. I could see like 1,200 plus yards out of JSN as a rookie. Pete Carroll just said today, JSN's on track to play week one.
Let's
Just broke a bone in his
go.
hand like 2 weeks ago, and he's already
He's
going to be
different.
back. Maybe not even
He's a
2 weeks
dog.
ago. He's back catching passes. That man's route running incredible, and he's going to be just a second year player. So he's going to have that age difference on a lot of guys that are going to put up big seasons as well this year. So I like JSN a lot at three.
Me too.
Yeah, and
I
then
like Jason up there. I mean, I have him at six, but it was tough for me to put him over some of these other guys just because I don't see him putting up 1,200 yards in that offense. But hey, you never know. If he puts up 1,200, he's definitely wide receiver three.
you almost think I'm the biggest hater. It's like I got him at 12. So I feel like every guy that y'all like, I'm just like contrarian to. And I promise it's not on purpose.
Yeah, but usually if you're contrarian to me and Perlman, it's wrong.
You know
Tua,
what? And I still defend myself.
Jalen
I'm not just a yes man.
It's okay. We'll see what happens after this
I haven't been
year.
wrong about Tua quite yet. But anyway, Josh and I both had CD at three. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Josh, you have anything to add with CD, or we're gonna move on?
No, I mean, like we can move on. Like, it makes sense. It's nothing new to add.
Yeah, and then four, Jared and I both have Garrett Wilson. I mean, I think he's gonna just build upon a great rookie year. I mean, he did that with like Zach Wilson, Mike White. I mean, that's nuts to do that as a rookie with those quarterbacks. And now he gets Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this year, probably the next year, and then, who cares about projecting 3 years in the future anyway? So, Garrett Wilson's my quarterback four, wide receiver four. Same with Jared. Josh had Jalen Waddle. So, Josh, I mean, not a huge explanation required here, but big Waddle guy.
Yeah, I mean, I had Waddle as my wide receiver four last year. I'm gonna have Waddle as my wide receiver four this year again. Feels pretty good.
Yeah, I love Garrett Wilson and
So
Waddle,
fast.
both beasts. But being Rodgers number one, clear number one, should be very productive for fantasy. I like Garrett Wilson a lot. He did it with the bums, like Kai said. So ready for him to have a Hall of Fame quarterback and see what he can do. And Waddle
got another bum.
Going to be a beast, though.
For our wide receiver five, Jared had A.J. Brown. And Josh and I both had Amon-Ra. I like Amon-Ra here because I have a feeling that the Lions are going to extend Jared Goff. There's been rumors that that's been in the pipeline for a while now, and I think it's going to get done. And Goff exceeds down the middle of the field, off play action, not so much on the outside, and that's exactly where Amon-Ra also succeeds. So I think that that stack is going to be just a little more fruitful on the Amon-Ra side for fantasy perspective, but I think Amon-Ra is going to continue to get fed, and I think he'll even be able to work on his game over the top and continue to prove that he's not just a slot guy, kind of like how like Cooper Kupp has, you know, transitioned from being just a slot guy. So I'm a big Amon-Ra fan. Anything to add about Amon-Ra?
I think there's a real chance Amon-Ra leads the league in receptions this year. He's the only guy on that Lions offense for the first 6 weeks that can really catch a pass. And then whenever he's healthy, he sees double-digit targets at one of the highest rates in the league. So I expect that trend to continue. Lions have an elite offensive line. It'll give Jared Goff the time he needs to let the routes develop. And Amon-Ra is phenomenal getting open. So I love Amon-Ra this year.
For me, definitely understand the different offenses. That's what drives Amon-Ra being above A.J. Brown for sure. But A.J. Brown is by far, in a way, the better receiver. There's just, like, he is as good of a route runner, if not better. And he's so good at everything, winning at the catch point, winning deep balls. He can get yards after the catch. He's big as fuck. And the thing holding him back is that he has another really good teammate in Devonta Smith, and that they don't throw as much as the Lions. I mean, obviously he is tied to that offense for a few more years, but I just love A.J. Brown. His game it translates to everything. He can do it all. And I love watching him, you know, catch those long deep balls from Hurts. They have a great connection. I think it was like the highest passer rating in the league was on deep balls was from Hurts to A.J. Brown. So just love his game and expect him to be great again this year.
All right, and then for our wide receiver sixes, Jared had Waddle, Josh has JSN, I had A.J. Brown. Anything to add to this? I know we've already talked about each one of those guys.
It's Waddle time, baby.
And then for our sevens, we have the introduction of Marvin Harrison Jr. with Jared, and then Josh and I each had Chris Olave. So, Jared, why Marvin Harrison Jr. here, if I even need to ask?
Yeah, I love Marvin Harrison. I think that obviously, Olave has shown it in the NFL that, you know, he is a number one receiver. He already put up 1,000 yards as a rookie, and, you know, definitely can't hate on having him over a guy who's, you know, yet to play his third year in college. But Marvin Harrison is just, the scouts are watering for him to get into the league. He is the prototypical size, speed, and has really, I think all of the guys at Ohio State have said that he's the best receiver of them all. People are going to be extremely hyped for him to get in the league. I think he's going to be that Ja'Marr Chase type prospect that people are just foaming at the mouth to have on their team. People are going to trade a ton for these top two rookie picks to go out and get him, I believe. And we're going to see it, even with a new quarterback at Ohio State, a guy who didn't look the part too well in his first game. I think Marvin Harrison will show, even though, again, not his best game. He got hurt this first game already, but I think he'll continue to show that he is that dude, and he's going to be that at the next level, even as a rookie. He's going to get the hype, just going to continue to grow from where he's at right now.
Yeah, I mean, dude's incredible at Ohio State. I have no complaints about this. I have him a couple spots lower, but I don't hate it. Don't hate it. Josh, why Chris Olave at seven?
I mean, my thinking here was like, let's just put the four Ohio State wide receivers just in a row right here. I got JSN at six, Olave at seven, Garrett Wilson at eight, Marvin Harrison Jr. at nine. Only reason I put Marvin Harrison at the bottom just because he hasn't played in the NFL yet. So I feel like just dynasty players in general are just going to lean a little bit more on the NFL experience, but I do think Marvin Harrison definitely could be the most talented of the four, and he could vault himself way above all of them in 2025. So the 2025 rankings, those are going to go crazy next year. I'm a big fan of Olave. Have always been a big fan of Olave. I think that he's going to be a beast this year. Love the Saints this year. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So Olave should feast against all of those trash defenses that he's going to be facing this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I love Olave. As stated by me having him at 7 like you. All right, moving on to 8. Jared has CeeDee Lamb, a bit low for CeeDee. Josh is Garrett Wilson. I have the first Devontae Smith sighting. So first, Jared, why is CeeDee at 8? Why are you lower on him than consensus?
I think I'm a well-known Cowboys hater here on this podcast.
Typical Cowboys fan.
we'll see what happens, I guess. Mike McCarthy is not my favorite play caller. I'm not sure they're going to, go and have big moments and win big games. Maybe he gets lots of garbage time points, but that's not what I like out of my receivers. I like see him put up points in big games and win big games. I'm sure CeeDee has, I know he has the talent. He's an incredible receiver, a great player, and deserves to be in the top 10 and possibly the top 5 as well. But I'm a Cowboys hater. I like these other receivers better, but still expect CeeDee to have a pretty good season. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like CeeDee. I can't say I agree with you, but I mean, you got your ear to the ground at the Cowboys facility over there. So, man, I just think CeeDee's so good, but alrighty.
CeeDee's a beast. CeeDee's absolutely a beast. He's going to go off this year. I'm excited for him.
Me too. Remember after week one last year and everyone was freaking out because Dak got hurt and then CeeDee had like a dud of a game and everyone's like, this guy sucks and he has Cooper Rush throwing him the ball. Should have bought it. Lesson after this week, buy if a superstar player has a bad game. And then I picked Devontae Smith. I just love him. I think he's so good at football, amazing route runner, incredibly talented. I think perennially undervalued because of his size. Also being behind AJ Brown doesn't necessarily help his total, but I think it allows him to, work underneath a bit more, get more receptions, but also can exceed over the top. I love Devontae Smith.
Great pick. So love Devontae Smith too. I wish I had him higher. He's a beast and love the connection he's got with Hurts. But yeah, he's got lots of competition with AJ Brown as well and a lower volume offense. So that's why I got him a bit lower. But I love Devontae's talent. He's a beast and I'm not predicting injuries. So he's going to go off this year.
Yeah, I love him so much. Hate that he's on the Eagles. All right, wide receiver 9s. Jared has Olave, Josh has Marvin Harrison Jr., and so do I. 3 Ohio State guys, or I guess 2 Ohio State guys. Right. And I don't think too much to add here. We've already talked about them. 12 wide receiver 10s. Jared has Drake London, Josh has Brandon Ayuk, and I have Jalen Waddle. A bit lower than everyone else, but curious to hear why Drake London, why Ayuk.
Yeah, I'll go first. I mean, Drake London drafted number 8 overall last year by the Falcons. The Falcons are trying their best to build something there in Atlanta. And if Ridder can be anything, Drake London is going to be incredible. He's going to command like a 30%+ target share this year. It was 29% with Ridder last year as a rookie. I think that was good for second best in the entire league. So as a rookie, so this guy just is going to continue to command targets because they added no competition besides Bijan Robinson out of the backfield, which I'm sure he's going to have a lot to do in the passing game, but they have nobody else outside. Kyle Pitts is really good, but he's not as good as Drake London, and Drake London can do it all. He can run deep. He can run short routes. He can run intermediate routes, and he wins exceedingly well at the catch point. So I'm very excited. And yeah, maybe Ridder does suck, but hopefully the Falcons are smart enough to either start Heinicke or completely tank for somebody like Caleb Williams or Drake May or one of the other quarterbacks that does look to be a fairly deep quarterback class. So we'll see what happens next year with their quarterback situation. But if Ridder is anything this year, Drake London is going to be incredible. So I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, and for Brandon Ayuk, I just think Brandon Ayuk's just a dog. I mean, 25 years old. He already had his year three breakout last year after being in the doghouse in his sophomore year. He got drafted, what, like 17th overall? And I think he's just an absolute beast. He should be the wide receiver one for the Niners this year. All of the reports that I'm hearing is that Brandon Ayuk is just destroying everyone in practice. Like, he's absolutely unguardable. And it's kind of what we've seen from him when he's been on the field with the Niners over the past 3 years. So I think the entire community is just a little bit down on Ayuk because there's a perception of Debo being the wide receiver one, even though he's not. And the fact that Ayuk was in the doghouse 2 years ago, maybe that plays into it as well. But I think Brandon Ayuk is going to put the entire fans community on notice this year and just be an absolute beast. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I love both these players. I thought about adding Ayuk, but I just think there's so many mouths to feed there in San Francisco that for fantasy purposes, it's tough for me to rank him so high, though I do think he's probably a top 12 talent in the NFL. I'm just not quite sure I could rank him that high for dynasty purposes. And I have Drake London at 11 myself, so I'm a fan of Drake London. I think even if Ritter's not that great or if they don't pass all that much, they're just going to continue to pepper him with targets. I think, what was it, like a 30% target share last year, something like that, something absurd for Drake London. So I think that coupled with his undeniable talent will keep him in that like low end wide receiver one tier next year, with hopes that maybe there's a better quarterback situation or something like that. And then I had Waddle a bit lower. I'm not sure I even agree with myself, because Hill might, you know, take a step back as he gets older and maybe Waddle takes a step forward, but that's just where I end up putting him. But I don't even know if I like that myself. So wide receiver 11, Jared has Amon-Ra, Josh has AJ Brown, and I have Drake London, like I said. Anything to add here? A little low on Amon-Ra, a little low on AJ Brown, but I don't think anything groundbreaking necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Amon-Ra might end up slowing down in the back half of the year, and people will be upset about that if Jameson Williams is actually a really good wide receiver like he was drafted to be, and if they somehow decide to use Jahmyr Gibbs all over the field, maybe in those short to intermediate routes where Amon-Ra usually feasts, and then if Laporta is also good, people are expecting a lot of things out of the Lions offense, Jared Goff to keep up with all of that. Obviously Amon-Ra is the one and there's no denying that, but just have him a bit lower than some of these other guys because there could end up being more mouths to feed than people expect by the end of the year, and he might not be putting up those super elite numbers.
Yeah, my only thing for having AJ Brown down here is the fact that he's gonna be 27 next year. I mean, I believe AJ Brown is a top five talent in the NFL for sure. But just from a dynasty ranking perspective, I like some of these other guys who are a little bit younger than AJ Brown from a dynasty perspective. But AJ Brown, definitely top five talent. Just being a little bit ageist by putting him a little bit lower here.
And then our wide receiver 12s, Jared has Devontae Smith, Josh has Jerry Jeudy, and I have JSN here at the bottom. I think JSN is obviously a very good player. I'm a little bit concerned about his ability to play on the outside. So and alongside there just being a lot of mouths to feed there in the Seahawks. I think Lockett's still amazing. I think DK Metcalf is solid, and just a little bit concerned about ranking him too high. But obviously, I mean, I put him at 12. I'm still high on him. Josh, curious to hear why you have Jeudy here instead of someone like Devontae Smith or Drake London.
I just think Judy's going to have kind of a breakout year this year. I think the Broncos are going to be a much better team than they were last year. I think it's a little bit, it's very difficult to be as bad as they were last year under Nathaniel Hackett. I think Sean Payton's going to kind of open up this entire offense, and Jerry Jeudy's going to be the one in this offense. Jerry Jeudy just turned 24. So he has a bunch of experience in the league, and he's still super, super young. And I think from a points per game perspective, I have him finishing as a wide receiver one, as a top 12 wide receiver. He might miss a few games early on, but the important games are down the stretch. And I think that's when he's going to really shine, and that's going to boost his value up here into the top 12.
I definitely hope, because I've had faith in Jeudy for a while and he hasn't done it. But I do think he's a really good receiver, but Devonta Smith is just so goddamn good. He's the Slim Reaper. He's ready to go out there and do it again. He was 10th in total points last year for wide receivers, and he's going to continue to stay healthy, I believe, and put up those numbers. He's just an absolute dog. Love Devonta Smith.
Hey, I think Devonta Smith is a phenomenal talent as well. I have issue with putting, after I made the mistake last year, I have issue with putting two players from the same team in the top 12. So having AJ Brown up here feels wrong to have Devonta Smith up here. But I do think Devonta Smith is a phenomenal, phenomenal talent.
All righty. There are our wide receivers. Let's get into running back. So running back one, we all have the same player. That is Bijan Robinson. I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward. He projects to be a bell cow this year. Elite prospect. I don't think there's really too much to add at all here. Running back two, Jared has Breece Hall, and Josh and I both have Jahmyr Gibbs. I went Jahmyr here just for the pass catching upside. I think in that Lions offense, he's gonna prosper. I think concerns about him not getting enough of like the carries are a bit overblown, because I don't think that the Lions would have drafted him so highly and valued him so highly if they planned on not using him at least a significant portion. So, and love a first round running back anyway. You know, I mean, the protection you get with that is great. But I can't hate the Breece pick either, Jared. Curious to hear why you had Breece there.
I mean, Breece is so good. He showed it on the field last year before
he
got hurt. He was incredible per touch. I mean, he doesn't even like it. Really doesn't matter if the Jets use Dalvin. As long as Breece is back to full health, he's going to be so good. I love Breece Hall. I just think he's an incredible player and is going to feast in this offense. I'm really, really excited. Really excited.
For sure. I remember when Breece got hurt last year, I was in London and I was like just about ready to go to bed. And I was just like, no. Mm-hmm. I was so bummed.
I got a lot of Breece this year. I'm excited.
I mean, yes. Same thing as you. Jahmyr Gibbs, unreal talent. Gonna have so many receptions. Just excited for him for fantasy football. Nothing else to add.
And then for running backs three, I had Breece. Same reasons as Jared. Just a little bit lower. Jared had McCaffrey, and then Josh had the introduction of our first non-NFL player with Rocket Sanders. So, Josh, interested to hear your thoughts on Sanders. Jared, you as well. Personally, I didn't include any rookie in this because I just didn't feel comfortable enough to rank them. So I'm ignoring rookies right now. So, but Josh, why Rocket Sanders RB3?
Learned my mistake from last year. We all had Bijan Robinson like near the bottom of the running back list. We had him at like RB9, RB10. Bijan Robinson is RB1 before he's even played a single NFL game. Kind of see something similar happening. With Rocket Sanders. Rocket Sanders, I have him at RB3. Rocket Sanders is 6'2", 242 pounds of pure muscle. And he's a phenomenal running back that plays in the SEC. He's dominated SEC defenses his entire career. I actually expect him to get drafted either the first or the second round, depending on how NFL teams feel next year. But I think I have three rookies next year in the top six, and that's a little bit of a testament to how I think the NFL is going to be transitioning. I think that this year is going to be the year of the running back. And teams like the Titans and the Falcons are going to be pretty successful just by putting a bunch of big dudes on the field and handing the ball off to their insanely talented running back in Derrick Henry and Bijan Robinson. And then now once teams start seeing that sort of transition, now that they've built their defenses to stop like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, these phenomenal quarterbacks, these teams are going to run the ball down their throats. They're going to not going to have an answer for it. And I think teams are going to start to transition to that a little bit more. And that's why I have Rocket Sanders and Braylon Allen, Trayvon Henderson in my top six.
Yeah, I like Rocket Sanders a lot. He's, he's so good. He looks incredible. He's so fucking big. And so is Braylon Allen. They're just absolutely huge backs. And, you know, yet to see who's actually better, in my opinion, even though I do have Raheem rated a little bit higher than Braylon in this ranking. I think they're both going to be incredible picks next year and are going to be, you know, just feasting all year against these defenses in college. But I went Christian McCaffrey because I think there's a real chance he just does it again. He just puts up a crazy CMC season. And it's like, okay, yeah, he is like 28, 29 now, but he's still just being a beast. So I don't know. I think if he does it this year, then it's going to be hard to rank him outside of your top five, even going forward, because he's just Christian McCaffrey, and no one's done anything like him in ever before. So, yeah, got to have CMC up here high, but can't hate the rookies either.
And Josh, I completely agree with your process. I think having rookies up here is everything. I mean, not just from the age perspective, but they love to run the hell out of these young guys, you know? So especially if anyone's taken with any like first or second round capital, it means a lot. Moving on to our running back fours, Jared has Jameer, Josh has Breece Hall, and I have McCaffrey myself. Like Jared, I'm not really concerned too much with the age because he just puts up bad numbers, and the 49ers seem to be using him efficiently, which is awesome for his longevity. Anything to add here? We've talked about these players. For our running back fives, Jared has Rocket Sanders here himself. Josh has Travion Henderson, and then I have Jonathan Taylor. So with the JT stuff, I'm concerned for this year, but you know, I think that he ends up playing in some capacity this year because he has to eat up that contract year because he wants that big money. And I think whether it's at the Colts, whether it's on the open market, or whether it's a franchise tag, whatever that scenario is, he ends up playing next year. So I'm not too concerned for his long-term value for that sake. Josh, what are your thoughts on Travion Henderson? Why do you got him here at our running back five?
Travion Henderson just had an unreal season as an 18-year-old freshman at Ohio State. I think he put up like 1,300, 1,400 rushing yards as a true freshman. Really, really impressive from him. And I'm excited for him to come to the NFL. Exact same thoughts as Rocket Sanders.
Yeah, Travion, I don't have him in my top 12 because I'm a little bit more scared. He missed like all of last year with a broken foot. And he's going to have to do it again this year while we just saw last year Braylon and Rocket Sanders do well. And they have that just incredible size. Travion Henderson has NFL size. He's 5'10", 212 listed at Ohio State, but not, you know, 6'2", 240 of pure muscle. So a bit different prospect sizes from those guys, and Travion just broke his foot. So I still think he could definitely break the top 12, but I think he's going to absolutely have to show out this year. And they, you know, game one this year didn't look too great from Ohio State. So they're going to have to improve as offense for him to really rock it up this high.
All right, moving on to our running back sixes here. Jared has the first Javonte Williams sighting. Josh has another upcoming rookie in Braylon Allen. And then I had Saquon Barkley. I picked Saquon here because I think he's having a monster year. I mean, he set up so well to be a bell cow this year, I think, for the next handful of years in his career. He was so good last year. He's such a focal point on that offense and would be on whatever team he was on. So I put Saquon here myself. Looks like y'all aren't as high on him as I am, so maybe I'll have to do some defensive work here if y'all have any questions. But I just think Saquon's just so good, and I'm looking forward to him in the future.
A little bit low on Saquon. I agree. I got Saquon down at 12. I mean, he's obviously an incredible talent. We just haven't seen what we've wanted to really in a few years, besides like he was really good last year. But the receiving upside is not really what we saw out of his rookie year. That was just him getting peppered from Eli Manning, who couldn't really do much else. And they have a lot of receivers that aren't nearly as good as Saquon, but I think they are going to spread the ball out a lot. I still am not in love with Daniel Jones, and Saquon is just getting older. So that's why I got him a bit lower than some of these other guys. But I do think Saquon should be in for a really good year. He doesn't have that security right now. I think he's going to, if he locks it in with the Giants, it's good, but it's not great for his value. So yeah, just not extremely high with a lot of these younger backs coming in. And I just think we'll perform well. I like Javonte a lot this year. He's my pick for that late round Josh Jacobs player to explode. I like the Broncos, and Javonte was picked 35, you know, obviously Saquon like picked in the top five, but basically a first round player. And Javonte has that high draft capital and has shown a ton of receiving upside in his short career as well. So if he comes back healthy, I really like Javonte to perform well this year.
Yeah, I like Javonte as well. Feels a little risky to put him in my top 12, so I actually left Javonte Williams off my list. But I love Javonte Williams as a talent. He's one of those guys I just want to see what he can do post ACL before I put him in my top 12, especially in my top six, like with these rookie running backs. I don't have Saquon in my top 12 either, That's probably wrong. But like Perlman, I'm just afraid of the Giants offense. There's not a ton of touchdowns to go around in that offense to begin with. So Saquon breaking into that top three, becoming a top three running back feels kind of out of the question without the touchdowns there. And then I put Braylon Allen here. Braylon Allen, like Perlman said, just an absolute beast of a man. He's like 6'2", 250. He's fast as well. So just like Rocket Sanders, he's going to come into the league and just absolutely destroy some of these NFL defenses. So I'm excited for him to come into the league too. And he's just so much younger. Like both Rocket Sanders, Trayvon Henderson, and Braylon Allen, they're so much younger than all these other running backs. Like they're going to be 7 years younger than CMC when they come into the league, 5 years younger than JT, 6 years younger than Saquon, 5 years younger or 6 years younger than Josh Jacobs, 4 years younger than Javonte. Like they just have so many more usable years in Dynasty. That is my reasoning for having them higher than some of these other guys.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense to have those guys. I mean, we're talking about next year after these guys have whatever season they have. So they're going to be a year older. And these guys are all going to be pretty highly picked rookies, most likely. So definitely can't hate on those picks. I got Braylon Allen at 9, so a little bit lower. But I do think these guys are probably going to rocket into the top 12 almost immediately after the draft. So.
And then moving on to our running back 7s, Jared has Jonathan Taylor. I had him at 5. Josh has a CMC sighting, and then I had Josh Jacobs. So Jacobs is the first new joiner here of this list. I think Jacobs is going to continue to be a bell cow type player, kind of like Dalvin Cook-like, I think, until the wheels fall off a bit, and then he'll just be like a reliable backup. So happy to have Jacobs here because I think he still has like 3 to 4 years of running back one upside left in him. So excited to continue to rate him highly because I think he's going to continue to put up points. He's been a target hog throughout his career. Curious to see what team he ends up on, though. I mean, that could always change things. So,
yeah, I agree. Jacobs definitely is a little bit scary with his security as well. Also, on basically playing on the contract tag or the franchise tag, got a little bit of extra money, I think. So it'd be expensive to do it to him again. And so he hopes for a long-term contract, I'm sure, with Las Vegas, but obviously not the most ideal situation probably with their current state of their offense. But I do like Josh Jacobs to continue to be a bell cow. He was RB1 last year, so it's hard to rate a guy like that outside of the top 10. I got him at number 8. I think he's a really good running back and was, you know, the 101 in rookie drafts just a couple years ago and has clearly shown that he still has the juice after last year. So I don't hate the pick at all.
All right, and then for our running back 8s, Jared has Josh Jacobs, so I could see why he did not hate it. Josh has Najee Harris, and I have Javonte Williams. So as Najee Harris is the newcomer, Josh, any thoughts on Najee?
Yeah, I mean, he's a first-round running back, 25 years old. I think the Steelers are going to continue to abuse him as that bell cow running back. Mike Tomlin always abuses his workhorse. I think that's going to be the same thing with Najee Harris this year. I saw him go for 2 firsts in one of my leagues last year before the season. So if a running back's getting valued that highly and then he completely falls off, like, I don't really see that from a first-round running back, especially one like Najee Harris, who's 250 pounds. So I like Najee Harris as a big bounce-back candidate to kind of find himself back in that top 8.
All right, for our running back 9s, Jared has Braylon Allen, Josh has Jonathan Taylor, and I have Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard being the new inclusion, I'm projecting him to have like an Eckler-type second half of his career where he finally gets more and more work, and every year people are like, well, who are they going to bring in to compete with him? And then they never really bring in anybody to compete with him, and they use him very efficiently. So I think Tony Pollard is all the talent in the world. There's no one on the team this year that's really going to take away any significant chunk of work from him. And I'm excited to see how Tony can do in a more featured role this year. And I think I'm the only one that included Pollard. But, yeah, I'm projecting that Eckler-type career for him. So, yeah. Tony Pollard, running back 8.
Yeah, I like Pollard. I actually had him on my list, and then I took him off for Kenneth Walker. And maybe that was wrong, but, I mean, it was just the fact that Tony Pollard's going to be 27 next year.
Yeah.
And
that's
he's
why
not,
I had to go, like, the Eckler route.
Yeah, which I could definitely see. I'm curious to see how he holds up this year. Because we know the Cowboys love to abuse their one, so we'll see if he can sustain that workload.
All right, for running back 10s, Jared had Najee Harris, Josh had Ramondre Stevenson, and I had ETN. I don't love ETN, but I'm not as concerned with Tank Bigsby as everyone else is. And I think that, again, ETN's another guy for a round pedigree that I don't think will ever be, like, you know, a top five running back. I think he's going to have, like, an Aaron Jones kind of career, maybe, where he's just always, like, you know, consistently, like, back end one, high end two. And I think that does come with some value. So I'm still comfortable with ETN ranking him as my running back 10 moving into next year.
Hey, don't disrespect my man Aaron Jones like that. He finished as RB2 like 3 years ago. RB2 overall. He had like 20 touchdowns.
I mean, you know me.
That was crazy.
I'm the biggest Aaron Jones. That was crazy. Ever.
He did it like 2 years in a row too. He had like 20 touchdowns and then 18 touchdowns.
I think I had him both years too. I love him.
Aaron Jones is a beast, but I mean, ETN's also a really good running back. There's just a lot going on with the Jags offense. They got a lot of good receivers. They got they just drafted Tank Bigsby to be that second guy, and is going to take some of his work away, and Evan Ingram as well. So Trevor Lawrence also does rush occasionally. There's just a lot of mouths to feed, so I don't have him in my top 12, but probably just right outside because he's still pretty young and a first round running back, and has been effective when he was on the field this past year. So I like ETN.
And Josh, you want to talk a little bit on Ramondre? Got to wrap up here soon, but Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan of Ramondre Stevenson. Like, he's a 245-pound running back in a Bill Belichick offense that likes to use their running backs a lot. He catches passes. He looks really fluid when he's catching passes. And I think the Patriots offense is going to improve significantly under Bill O'Brien after getting rid of Matt Patricia. So I'm just excited for Ramondre Stevenson this year. He's probably going to finish as an RB1. He's still young. He's like 24 years old, so he'll probably be the bell cow again next season. So that's why I have him at 10 here.
And then at 11, Jared has Ramondre, Josh has Kenneth Walker, I have J.K. Dobbins. I think I talked about J.K. Dobbins earlier in the show. I just think he's going to have a great year this year. I think that running offense is going to be really efficient. I think he might even get some more targets this year. But yeah, I'm a big fan of J.K. Dobbins. I think that the knee injury 2 years removed will be significantly improved. And even last year, he ran for over 6 yards a carry when he was like limping down the field. So I think with that offense and with his talent and with being further removed from the injury, I'm pretty comfortable with J.K. Dobbins this year. I think that he'll definitely show that he has some top end talent enough to be an RB1.
I'm just worried about putting a guy like J.K. this high because he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy at all in his career. Obviously, he does have a great yards per carry mark, and I do expect big things from the Ravens. I think the Ravens can be incredible this year with Todd Monken running that offense and Lamar Jackson at full health. But it's been a while since we've seen all these guys at full health, and I'm scared about J.K. Dobbins staying fully healthy. I do think he is in line for a big year if he is, but it's hard to put a guy like that into my top 12 for sure.
Yeah, I feel similarly to Perlman. I do love Dobbins' talent. I'm just afraid of the injuries, and he didn't look like fully healthy even when he was running last year. His stats were incredible. Like, he's so efficient with the football. But I don't know, just he wasn't passing the eye test for me last year. Just like, he looked kind of hobbled. Hopefully this year he's going to fully come back and kind of look like himself again. Because I loved J.K. Dobbins coming out of Ohio State, but I'm excited to see what he can do this year. I'm a little bit concerned that Gus Edwards might take a little bit more work than people are leading on, but we'll just have to see.
And then for our running back 12, Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris. I think we've all talked about these guys. Josh, not including Saquon, brings a tear to my eye. But I think that we got a pretty good list here. I'm excited to look back next year and see what we got terribly wrong. I think we were a little safer this year, minus not including Trevor Lawrence.
But I think I like our picks. I think, you know, we've refined our process, and next year we can use this type of conversation to refine it even more.
I agree. JSN at 3, pretty safe. I think we're being safe here this year for sure.
Yeah, definitely not leading with passion.
Nope.
Watch JSN finish wide receiver 1 next year.
I'm ready.
All right, y'all. Well,
we're all too low.
I think we're going to wrap it up here. We've taken up enough of your time. But thanks so much, everybody, for listening. And come back at us next week when we can react to week 1. It's coming.
Let's go. Peace.